Green.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Chase Briscoe finally shakes the monkey off his back. And now we head to Atlanta for the first repeat performance of the year. And we expect that every driver is going to be looking for more grip, more grip, more grip all night long. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Reed and Lee here. And Lee, I tell you, I like Chase Briscoe. I think the media center, everybody loves Chase, likes the guy as well. And he was putting a lot of pressure on himself to get the victory lane. His wife, he talked about the story about his wife asking him last week, "What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "I'm going to ride that I am expected to win in, and I haven't yet." Well, now he has. The pressure's off.
The pressure is off, and he said the same exact thing to me in the post-race. You could tell that it hadn't set in that he had actually won at Joe Gibbs Racing because he still felt under duress. He couldn't fully embrace the victory or the victory celebration. I've known Chase for a long time. I interviewed him, funny story, getting off the Chili Bowl train, or plane rather, the year he was starting at Brad Keselowski Racing. And so we go back, you know, quite a ways, and I know him to know that it was starting to get to him. Every time he would win a pole, and I think, what, four of them this year? And he just was so, he couldn't even celebrate the poles because he knew he's expected to win when he goes to Joe Gibbs Racing. And so I think for him to finally break through, we're going to see more performance out of him now that the monkey's off his back. James Small called it the biggest win of his career because of how hard he's had to push Chase Briscoe because of the bad habits that he incurred while he was at Stewart Haas Racing and they were on the way out. Nobody held those drivers accountable because everybody knew they were going to shut the doors down. So for Chase to get this breakthrough, I think it's just going to be the start of a lot of success for the 19 team.
Well, he did say when he took this ride, it was almost exactly a year ago when it was announced, Reed, that he was getting this ride. He said, "I know I'm coming into a situation that I'm expected to win here. And if I can't win here, then I don't need, basically, I don't deserve to be in this series."
That's absolutely right. I talked to him during a bullpen before the race, and he was looking at his two teammates, Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, each of whom had won three races already this year. He had won none. Ty Gibbs has won none. And Chase was basically saying, "I've got to win. I've got to win." And, you know, you knew that pressure was on him. And it was, as he said in his post race, it was like 100-pound weight was lifted off of him once he got to victory lane. And he certainly, you know, I agree with Lee. I think that he's going to have a breakout year for the rest of the year, simply because that weight is off.
And the thing is, it almost didn't happen, Lee, because of the fact that he left the pits before they were finished fueling the car. And you can question, was it his fault? Was it James Small's fault? What was the reason? You know, there are different ways that teams go about holding a guy in there until the car is full. I know that generally you tell the guy to go on the jack, but it was interesting. I was listening to Todd Gordon this week, a former crew chief, talk on Sirius about why you don't leave the car jacked up, because he said you can't get the car full that way. The way to get the maximize getting the car full is you make the car level. So, and I don't know if you want to put a guy's hand out in front there or you find a different way to do it, but it was James Small basically said, "Wait on me." And I think because Chase didn't hear him or thought he'd heard him, he went ahead and went.
That's exactly what happened. And Chase, you know, he took the blame for it. It was a very precarious moment. I talked to the engineer and that interview will run on Sirius on Tuesday night, just describing what he went through as far as calculating the fuel and how they had to attack the strategy knowing that they weren't all the way full. Then on top of that, you have 7-time, eight-time, if you don't want to count the disqualification, winner Denny Hamlin behind you, who could give these kids master classes in how to attack Pocono. But it's kind of funny. The top five finishers at Pocono on Sunday, all of them have won at Pocono. So, you know, Briscoe has four guys behind him, all with wins at that track, understand the track, know what it takes to win there, on his tail. And it's like, for him to do what he did, should be a feather in his cap at this point.
You want to celebrate at the end of it, Reed, but it was more relief, I think, than anything else.
And Chase really said that. I mean, he said, this is, you know, probably the least excited I've been about a win, because the win is expected. They've given me the equipment to win with. I know I should win. And so consequently, I mean, he was not over the moon the way he was when he won at Darlington. It was expected of him, and he came through. But I'll tell you, I mean, it was, I thought, a masterful job of saving fuel that he did. One of the things that we enjoyed about the Prime presentation over these past five races was the fact that they actually showed fuel consumption on the TV, as well as throttle traces. So you could see that when he was going into turn two at Pocono, he was all the way off the gas, and managed over the course of the opportune caution and the closing laps to save three laps at Pocono, which is 7.5 miles. And that's quite an accomplishment.
And another element to this story is the fact that James Small has been trying to get Briscoe used to slowing down to go fast. And on Sunday, he had to slow down, in essence, to save fuel. And when he did, as Reed points out on Prime, they showed through their graphics that he was actually going faster. And so, you know, ultimately, this was a huge lesson for Briscoe. He had to learn to back off. Yeah, you just want to gun it all the time. You know, you want to mash the gas. But sometimes you really do have to slow down to go fast. And that's what happened for Briscoe.
And it wasn't hurting his lap times. I mean, that was the amazing thing. And the other thing was that he had enough aero block on Denny that Denny, even when he got within one or two car lengths, could not make the pass, and never got beside him. Just was always at least a car length back.
So you're not going with a black helicopter theory that Denny held off because Joe Gibbs Racing needed a third car in the playoffs?
No.
Is that why Jordan Bianchi came to victory lane?
Is that why? He only needs a black helicopter
Loves
theory?
Loves that controversy.
There's no chance of that. If Denny was able to win at Pocono, he was going to win at Pocono.
Well, I mean, now you look at Gibbs with three cars in the playoffs, and I don't see any reason to believe that he can't get all three of those cars into maybe the round of eight.
Oh, no doubt about it. When you think about the level of talent, and three times both the 11 and the 20, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell have won this year. Those cars have shown speed throughout the course of the season. And Denny Hamlin just never fails to amaze me, because a lot of guys, they start slacking off. I mean, when you look at the numbers he has compared to the numbers of Kyle Busch, and he just passed Kyle Busch for most wins at Joe Gibbs Racing. Granted, Kyle Busch does not have the level of equipment at RCR that Denny has at Gibbs, but on the other side of that, for him to balance all he does, and I know he's told us for years, I thrive in chaos, but to deal with all the BS off the track, to have to deal with 23-11, and then jump into the 11 car on Sunday and just, you know, put on a masterclass for these kids, it's very impressive at 43.
Oh, it absolutely is, you know, particularly with the trouble that the 23-11 cars had on Sunday at Pocono, where they were all going to fail. If they hadn't done the peremptory repair on Reddick's car, they would have had three cars in the wall.
Yeah, so, You think about where they're at right now, and it is not where we expected they would be, certainly at this point in time. Well, I think Briscoe's win was one of three feel-good stories over the weekend at Pocono. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another one of those. It was the Xfinity race and a crew chief debut that ends up in a win. Stay with us.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, we welcome you back to the Pit Reporters along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service and Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. We're glad to have you with us. All right. Some controversy, Reed, about how much work a fill-in crew chief really does when a crew chief's been suspended. Because, let's be honest, a lot of the preparation's done at the shop. And with all the contact technologically that a guy can have from the shop with the team at the track, he can really be making a lot of the calls anyway. So how much work did Dale Earnhardt Jr. really do in getting that win?
Well, let's put it this way. Dale Jr. himself said afterwards that if they asked him to really be a crew chief and do everything that a crew chief does throughout the week, prepping the car and managing the people and doing everything that the crew chief has to do to get to the track, he's out. But he did sit on top of the pit box, and ultimately it was his responsibility to make the calls. He gets credit for the win, just as Darian Grubb did for the Daytona 500 when he subbed for Chad Knaus. So, it's a mixed bag. Some people think that, you know, it was a publicity stunt. I think Kyle Busch made that assertion at one point, but he was there. He made the calls, and they won the race.
Well, I did see him get off the pit box for the last pit stop, Lee, and he actually got that, which you don't see crew chiefs usually do, and he made sure he was kind of the tire catch guy to make sure the tire didn't get away when it came to the wall. So he was involved.
I give Dale Jr. credit because not only was he involved, he went to track house twice in the week leading up to Pocono just to make sure he executed that move correctly, because if he loses a second, if he screws up, then the whole pit stop goes to hell. He didn't want that on his shoulder, so he absolutely prepared for that moment. He also had Steve Letarte with him, who had been his crew chief back in the day, who is, you know, his buddy for the Prime broadcast and TNT. So I think that, you know, not just Marty Lindley, who longtime family friend, he could rely on Steve Letarte as well.
And he said, you know, when you talked to him before the race, he said, you know, the main thing I'm worried about is catching that tire.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you talked to Connor Zilich after the race, he said basically, I think the biggest value that Junior brought was not as a crew chief, but as a voice in his head, because he'd never seen that track before. And as a former driver talking to a current driver saying, hey, here's what you need to be doing here. Here's where you need to get off the throttle. Here's the line you need to be taking, basically talking him through each lap.
And a driver who has won at that track. And throughout the course of their discussion over the radio, Junior said to Connor, please let me tell you if I'm giving you too much information. And Connor said, no, you can never give me too much information, because this is a kid who, I think he was 12 years old when he first went over to Europe and started running go-karts. His training was by himself, so he is really good at taking direction from other people. But, you know, the speculation, a lot of it after, here's a great relationship between driver and owner, but how long will Junior be the owner, right? Because Connor, his, you know, his stock just keeps rising every day, and certainly with another win, even though it was on a tri-oval, and everybody's joking that it's his first oval win, and even the crew said, no, it's a tri-oval.
Still hasn't won a race on a four-turn oval, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, they can kid have fun about it, but the kid's a comer, we know that, and it's a matter of time. But on the other side of that, you have Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, when you ask your parent who's your favorite child, and it's like, you know, you give them the standard, I love you equally, right?
Yep, exactly.
But, you know, with Dale Jr. having all that one-on-one with Connor, I think he had a favorite on Saturday.
Well, I think Connor is in Cup next year. I think that's going to happen.
Oh, really? With what? With which organization?
Well,
I mean, he is Trackhouse's property.
He is Trackhouse's property, and he might be in a Trackhouse car. Just think about it. If you have Connor Zilich and Shane Van Gisbergen running all the road courses for the same organization, no one else might win one.
That's true. So who are you saying is out? Suarez?
Possibly.
Daniel, when I talked to him, I did a interview with him for a front stretch on Sirius last Saturday of Mexico City. And he, when I asked him, you know, when are we going to hear your plans for next year? And he basically said, should be something coming out in the next few weeks.
All right.
But his contract is up this year. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The other feel good story I thought was the fact that Lane Riggs was able to pick up a win in the truck series, or maybe the headline is Corey Heim didn't win a truck race, but it was some bad luck. He had a great truck, had a flat tire, and Lane Riggs himself even said, I probably didn't have the best truck, but I had the best truck with the best luck.
That headline for Corey Heim has been the headline in six races already so far.
Yeah.
He's won four, but he could have won 10 in terms of dominating races, leading the most laps, winning both stages. Literally, he could have won almost all the races that they've had this year. But again, you know, he gets bad luck and doesn't win. Lane Riggs, you know, capitalizes a load off of his mind, because now he's in the playoffs, which he almost undoubtedly would have been anyway. But now he's got the win and he's guaranteed in.
But you're sitting there and you're Lane Riggs and you're looking at Corey Heim, who is by far the most talented guy in the field, right? And the level of maturation after having that much time. Also, he's with one of the best organizations in truck, certainly one that's probably better funded than I would tend to guess any of them. That being said, you have that happen. You have Josevar get a penalty and the seats just open, and he's there to capitalize, but you have to put yourself in the position to do so. Shout out to the elder of the two gray children, who was also there and tied his career best second place finish. I just think it's a matter of time before it clicks for him, because he's worked a lot with Corey. I think once his, you know, he gets a little more confidence and has runs like he did on Friday, he'll be right there. But Corey Heim is just an incredible talent. He's very mature for his age. He should be in a Cup ride, and I think it's going to be another year with Tricon until a seat opens up for him, which is kind of unfortunate because I'd really like to see what he can do in Cup, and I think it's just a matter of time.
Well, I think, you know, we talk a lot about youngsters and getting rushed to Cup. You know, I have a hard time saying he's spending too much time at a lower series. I think experience in any level is good, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. And if they did keep Connor Zilich another year in Xfinity, I think it would be good for him. But on the other side, you have seen people that get moved up, like a Denny Hamlin, and excel. And then you see people that might have been pushed a little early, like Ty Gibbs, Harrison Burton. I believe that Ty has the talent and he has the equipment to get the job done. It's just putting all the pieces together. And we have to remember he's with a new crew chief this year that hasn't been in Cup before. I'm not making excuses for the 54, but I do think it's a matter of time before they knock down the door as well.
Well, as far as Heim goes, they've already held him back 1 year. I mean, I don't think he needs to go to first grade again. So
where are you going to put him? Because he is a Toyota driver.
Oh, I know he's a Toyota driver. And that's one thing that the lawsuit with 2311 and Front Row has complicated to a great degree, because we don't know if they're going to have any charters to work with at the end of the year. The lawsuit's supposed to be heard on December 1st, but you know how those things go. Then the NCAA lawsuit on NIL went 5 years. And so I doubt if things are going to be resolved in hunky-dory, you know, just by the December 1 hearing, if it goes to trial. Now, the judge in that lawsuit has said, you guys get together, knock your heads, and settle this thing, because it's a no-win deal. But whether that's going to happen or not remains to be seen. And as long as that's the case, you know, there's one Toyota team with three charters that's sort of in limbo.
Well, that's the thing. As you look at all that, I think it's got everybody in limbo at this point in time. And, you know, who knows how many charters are going to be out there or available, or are there any teams there ready to purchase the charters if they're available?
Oh, there are always people willing to purchase charters. I mean, if something comes up, the hands will be raised. They'll go like hotcakes. That's not the issue. The issue is right now, the only people benefiting from this lawsuit are the lawyers. I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, they're raking in the dough, and the two parties, the judge was absolutely right. Get your heads together, figure out how we can settle this. So we're not talking about legalese on the weekends and we're going straight to competition. I think that's the best solution for everybody. On the other side of that, I also know from talking to principals, you know, involved in the teams, it's kind of killing them when they want to go out and get sponsorship. And, you know, that's the lifeblood of any race team. And that's a hindrance as well.
All right, when we come back, RCR has announced their lineup for next year, and get the thoughts of Lee and Reed about how that's stacking up, because it's going to look really familiar. Stay with us.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs, and unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
They established the Hall of Fame. First two people that get in, besides your dad, is Bill France Sr. and yep. Bill Jr. Your time behind the wheel overlapped with Bill Jr., didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I was called to the truck many times while Bill Jr. was in there. But you know what? What I remember about Bill Jr. as much as anything was being a kid and him sitting and talking to my dad or talking to my granddad. And Bill Sr. would be in some of those conversations. But you'd sit down at the racetrack and they would talk about where the sport was and where the sport was going. Bill was never satisfied with where the sport was. And that is the one thing that I came to admire about him. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. But, you know, I'll never forget we were doing some stuff and I was driving for Felix and I was called to the truck and I was reminded gently by Bill France Jr. that this was his sport. And if I would like to participate in his sport, that I needed to kind of change my ways. And I changed my ways so that I could participate in his sport.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Before we move along, I did want to do our Pit Reporters question for this week. And it is, what was the best feel-good story from Pocono, do you think? Was it Briscoe breaking through for Gibbs, Dale Jr. winning as a crew chief, or Lane Riggs finally getting a win? Last time we asked you, what will be the next organization to have all their teams with wins after what we've seen Penske do this year? And we had 55% said it's going to be Hendrick, 24% said Trackhouse, and 21% said Gibbs. We did have 2311 on the list, and they got a big goose egg.
Well, when you look at Tyler Reddick's performance over the last month or so, it's been rough, and it's not what we expect out of him. So I'm hoping they get something turned around and can start looking more like the 45 of old.
Yeah, they need to get up on the other side of the bed or put shoes on in a different order or something. See if they can get Lady Luck to smile on them. Well, let's talk about RCR. They've announced for next year that it's going to look in the Cup Series just like this year, Reed. It's going to be Kyle Busch in the 8, Austin Dillon in the 3, and it's going to be a two-car operation as it has been. Any surprise in all that? Or did you expect to see some changes?
No, I actually didn't expect to see changes. I expect Austin to be in the three car pretty much as long as he wants to be. And I also expected them to pick up the option on Kyle Busch's contract. It was expressed as an extension, but it's not really an extension. They had the option to pick up his contract for one more year and chose to do so and announced that they had. So I expected Kyle Busch to be in that car, at least Childress, to try to keep him for next year as well.
Lee, did you feel at some point that Austin's going to be ready to move? I mean, his dad's basically running RCR at this point in time. Or
who?
Austin's dad.
No. Mike is not in the front office. Mike Verlander, who used to be with Stuart Haas Racing, went over there, and he is now, he kind of took over Tori Gallida's role over there. So,
Tori's still there, too.
Tori's still there is kind of like emeritus, and Mike Verlander's the guy really, you know, doing the day-to-day business side of it. And they've picked up a lot of sponsorship, and I give them credit for that. But, you know, Austin needs to decide what he wants to do. And it's not that, you know, he's not where he needs to be because, you know, obviously he's got wins and you know, other wins in all three series. But that being said, RCR just at times seems to be spinning their wheels. And you just kind of wonder what the end game is, what is missing from the Cup side being anywhere close to as competitive as the Xfinity, because the Xfinity side of that program, If I'm them right now, and I know that Jesse Love has a contract for the next couple of years, but he's going to be somebody that team owners are going to go after hard if they don't find a spot for him at RCR. Austin Hill, who, you know, is going for, what, 5 straight this weekend in the Xfinity Series? He's another driver that they need to make room for him as well. We were supposed to see those two drivers in kind of share a third car this year. They're both, well, Jesse maybe not as much as Austin, but Austin's ready to make the move and get up to Cup. And he's a really good fit for RCR. But that being said, as solid as they are on the Xfinity side, the Cup side, there's just something seriously missing.
Well, maybe they should give Denny Lawrence a shot at the Cup side since he has done so well with Xfinity.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it's when you look at it, the disconnect there, like you said, when you've got the Xfinity series running so well, it kind of baffles you as why is the Cup series, the Cup side of things, struggling so much.
Well, I think the main reason is that the Cup side, well, there are several reasons. One is that it's a huge leap from Xfinity to Cup. It's cheaper and easier to get a competitive Xfinity car. And also, I think that the difference between the two cars right now is really profound. And there are drivers who simply have not adapted to the Gen 7 car, Kyle Busch being one of them. And I don't think RCR has found a setup that is compatible with the way he wants to drive. And the car is an issue too. As great as he was in the Gen 6 car, it's just not there for Gen 7 yet. And I think the car has made a huge difference.
And the other thing is the speed factor with Chevy overall, because think about it. We were at a high-speed track this past weekend. Who was the best qualifier of all the Hendrick car? Chase Elliott, and I think he qualified 18th. So now, William Byron, I've got to throw in a disclaimer, because William Byron was first in practice and looked like he was headed for the pole before he wrecked. But when you look at the qualifying efforts of Hendrick, you have to wonder where the speed's at. And is this a Chevy problem? Because clearly, the factory team, the house team, is Hendrick Motorsports. We're to the point now with this next-gen car where it debuted and everybody was on equal ground. RCR looked like geniuses with Kyle Busch. And as the juggernauts of the sport, the factory-backed teams of Joe Gibbs Racing, of Hendrick Motorsports, and of Team Penske, as they've, you know, gotten past where the playing field was, we've seen the haves and the have-nots again. And I think that RCR is part of that, you know, middle of the road, one of those middle of the road organizations that without the factory backing, they're just kind of spinning their wheels.
And well, they had a leg up because they helped develop this car
in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, give Hendrick time, right?
Yeah.
Give Penske time, give Gibbs time. And it's, you
that,
know,
that was back in the Jurassic era. So, you know, and look, Kyle Busch went out in his first year and won 3 races.
Yeah.
And, but nothing since, you know, and when you're looking at Pocono, like Lee said, I mean, there are horses for courses. Toyotas have the place figured out. They've won 9 of the last 13, Ford twice and Chevy twice. So, you know, when you go to Pocono, you kind of expect Toyota to move to the front.
When we come back at Atlanta this week, the in-season tournament begins. Will you be paying attention? Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service. I'm Brett McMillan. We're glad to have you with us. All right, as TNT takes over the TV broadcast this week, we also have the first ever in-season tournament, or whatever we're calling it, in-season challenge, driver against driver. 16 matchups this week, Lee. And some of them are actually kind of intriguing.
Some of them are just how
Ryan Preece against William Byron. Kyle Larson against Tyler Reddick. And if you haven't been paying attention, whoever finishes best between like those pairings advances to the next round. And then by the time we get down to Indianapolis, we'll have two drivers left. And whoever finishes best among those two will win $1 million.
Well, that's what I'm kind of looking to see with everything going on in the race. And we were talking about this off the air. How much do we pay attention to it this weekend compared to next weekend and next weekend? You know, because at that point, then it's kind of like Dash for Cash, right? I mean, how much credence do you give it when it's going on? And how much do the fans want to know about it? I guess if you're at home and you're betting on this, you want to know more than we do that, because I'm not betting on anything.
Well, and there's also $1 million prize, not only for the driver who wins, but for any fan who can come up with a perfect bracket. So
any fan or just a fan?
Well, a fan, but I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, 24 million people submitted brackets to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Zero perfect brackets.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to happen. It's even more random in racing than it is team versus team in the NCAA. So even though there was one more round, but it was interesting because before the race at Pocono, I talked to probably a dozen drivers and I asked each of them how much they were paying attention to their potential seeding, because this was before the seeding was finished with the Pocono race, where Briscoe moved up to the second seed because of his win. He was the only driver who actually knew who his opponent would have been going into the Pocono race. It would have been Reddick. And he didn't want to face Reddick because Reddick was going to be, he thought, one of the top five drivers in the Cup garage. So, Briscoe got his wish. He moved up to second seed, and now he's not facing Reddick anymore.
He gets Gregson this week.
Yes.
The best question in the Pocono Media Center all weekend, though, was the person that asked SVG what he thought about the playoffs.
Well, that's one of the controversies in this whole thing, because SVG is not in it.
No.
Because
The cutoff.
Because the cutoff to be in it was at before Michigan. And they only took the top 32 in points, and SVG was 33rd.
That's right.
So despite the fact that he got the win at Mexico, SVG is not a part of this.
Nope.
And that's what he said. He says, I don't know. I'm not in it.
Yes. And then the other part of it, which was confusing, and I know, Reed, you said it was spelled out, but that doesn't mean anybody was really paying attention to the rules.
That's right. They never do.
They said it's going to, you know, the seeding is going to be established over this three-race stretch, which was Michigan, Mexico, and Pocono. So I think what happened was people assumed that they were going to use the average finish over those three races to do the seeding. Well, then Denny Hamlin came out as the number one seed, and everybody said, well, how can that be? He didn't even run one of the races. Well, they said, no. It's not the average finish. It's what was your best finish over those three races.
But that's simply the way NASCAR does its tiebreakers at the end of the year. So it's your best finish, and then go down to next best finish if that's a tie. But I mean, really, nobody was paying attention during that period of time anyway. And so the seeding came out after the race at Pocono, and it is what it is. And you know, some drivers will probably not even pay attention to who their opponent is in the round. Others will. And I talked to some who said it may. Michael McDowell was one. I mean, they're not going to throw a race away or playoff points away to beat a particular person, but the strategies may dovetail where, you know, they want to cover the guy's pit stop or something like that, where they'll be paying attention to their one particular opponent and what they have to do to beat him.
But the thing is, and I may be wrong here, but it only matters where you finish. It's not how many points you get during the course of the race.
That's correct.
It's where you finish. So I heard somebody talking today about, well, you know, I don't want to get to the end of a stage and think about, you know, well, do I want to give up stage points to try to beat this guy here? Well, it doesn't matter if you give up stage. You don't want to give up stage points because it doesn't matter. It's where you finish at the end of the race. How many points you have at the end of the day doesn't matter.
I don't think anybody's going to wreck their race strategy to try to win the individual matchup. I just don't think that's going to happen, particularly in the early rounds. Now, when we get down to the last four or the last two, and there's $1 million on the line for the last two drivers, and what you have to do to get the $1 million is beat that one driver, then you may see something like that. Then you may see an alteration of strategy because it's a big payday. But before that, I don't think you're going to mess up and throw away a race, throw away stage points that you'd like to have if that's your plan, just to beat somebody else.
I think the first three races line up really well for Daniel Suarez, though, because he's won at Atlanta, won at Sonoma, and as good as he is on road courses, you know, to go to Chicago street course, the first three are kind of in his wheelhouse.
So he starts off against Bubba Wallace. So you're saying go with Suarez.
I think Suarez would have to be my kind of the guy I'd be looking at for like the first three.
And I think, you know, probably right, because Bubba's had just nothing but bad luck lately, and his finishes have not been good.
Well, I did have a chance. I was actually filling in on Sirius earlier this week, and was talking with Ryan Preece, who is seeded 15th, and his first round matchup is against William Byron, who is seeded 18th. And I said, well, the good news is you're the favorite. And Preece goes, okay. He goes, I drew the short straw. I mean, how are you the favorite against the guy that's a regular season points leader? Because Byron, his best finish in the three races was 18th. So,
and by the way, Byron's pretty good at Atlanta too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really good at Atlanta. I think what we're going to find when we get to Atlanta is the drivers are going to say, if there's any question to the driver about how much you're going to be paying attention to your matchup this week, it's going to be, you know what? If I win, it's not going to matter.
Well, that's usually the stock answer anyway. When you ask them, oh, you know, a win cures everything.
Yeah. I'm not going to have to worry about where the other guy finishes if I win, because then I'll advance, period. So like I said, I think when we get down to the final four, then the drivers will be more invested. But I don't expect the fans are going to be more invested for the first three races than the drivers will be, is my prediction.
And you know, something you were saying earlier, I mean, it may be interesting because Shane Van Gisbergen, you could make a logical argument that he might get to the round of eight in the playoffs, but he's not in the in-season challenge.
Exactly. Exactly right. All right, when we come back, Atlanta does lie ahead. It's the first track we've gone to twice this year, and the conditions are going to be very different than they were the first time around. Stay with us.
I have a friend, about 50, had a bad accident and couldn't go back to work. If you're between the ages of 49 and 63 and can't go back to your job because of a physical or mental disability, Social Security could pay you as much as $3,800 a month. If you or a family member is unable to work because of a disability, call the Social Security Disability Helpline. Our team will give you a free case review and explain to you how much money you're entitled to, and you won't pay anything unless we get you benefits. See if you or a family member is entitled to close to $45,000 a year in Social Security disability funds. Remember, this is not something for people over the age of 65. If you're under 65 and can't work, call now.
800-731-1582. 800-731-1582. That's 800-731-1582.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back to the Pit Reporters, along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service and Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, let's talk about Atlanta coming up this week. Reed, we were there in March, or no, actually February.
February.
Yeah. It was a little bit chilly. So the drivers did not get a lot of grip there. Now it's going to be hot and slick, even though it's going to be a night race. So the drivers are still not going to get a lot of grip. So it's going to be hot, slick, and the drivers predict they will be screaming for grip all night long.
I believe that is the case, and they will be sliding all over the place. It's going to be hot. I mean, we've got a heat wave going on in the country right now, and it's not going to abate by the time we get to Atlanta on Saturday night. So I think you're absolutely right. I have not seen, I've not read the Goodyear report on the tires that they're bringing to the race, but I would assume that they are the typical super speedway tires. And, you know, they will be screaming for grip. They'll be sliding, they'll be slipping, and it's going to be hard to maintain the car in a straight line in that draft.
The thing is, we're hearing them talk about, ever since, you know, Atlanta was reimagined, for about, give a better term, Lee, they're talking about how it seems to be aging a lot faster than they expected it to be.
And that's good, because that makes it a little more unpredictable and you know, slidey. And I think that that kind of gives them an opportunity to move around a little bit better. I think about the heat that we had at Pocono, and we really weren't expecting it because we had rain earlier in the day, but after seeing what Ryan Blaney went through, losing his cool suit, if I'm a race team and I'm the interior guy going into this weekend, I want to make sure that my guy's just completely taken care of because he's going to be an issue this weekend. And I know a lot of these guys, they'll sit in saunas, they'll try to prepare for that. But I'm more worried about almost how the drivers are going to find their comfort under these conditions. Even though it's at night, it's still going to be excruciatingly hot in the cars.
And to your point, Brett, I think that Atlanta, as it ages, we will get to some sort of point, which is a tipping point, where it will no longer be advisable to use the Super Speedway package there, and Atlanta will get back closer to what it was when it was just a typical 1.5-mile degraded pavement speedway.
You know, we had a year ago in the spring the three-wide finish, and we were headed to another three-wide finish this spring.
Yep.
But the caution came out and it basically froze the field in turn three, and that Christopher Bell gets the win there. But, you know, they got around to the start finish line and it was another three wide finish. Can we have the same thing potentially this time around?
Absolutely. I think that the track still lends itself to that style of racing. And what's really cool about it, it's a hybrid of sorts. Yes, you know, we get super speedway racing there, but then again, it's also, you know, being 1.54 miles, we get a situation where it is intermediate. So, and this car over the course of the next gen development has put on the best product at the intermediate track. So I think that's one of the reasons some of the best racing we see comes at Atlanta.
And as long as you've got the three viable lanes, it's certainly a possibility. A lot of drivers have been saying that the most viable tracks we go to are the ones with progressive banking, and Atlanta has that.
All right, so we've got 11 different winners in the Cup Series now. 16 spots go to the playoffs, which means we now have five open spots for people without a win. And it's interesting when you look at it. So right now, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, and Alex Bowman would be the guys in without a win. Ryan Preece is 20 points below the cut line. AJ Allmendinger is 59 below the cut line. When you think about five races to go before, or five races, five players available, nine races to go before the end of the regular season, I'm beginning to look at this list of these guys, and you talked about the struggles Tyler Reddick has had, Lee, and I'm starting to think, not could any of these guys win, but as you look at this list, which of these guys would you say will win a race?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Maybe, I don't know, if I look at who's the most determined of the bunch, Chris Buescher gets my vote. I think he was disappointed with his finish at Pocono, and you know, he was up there, and so I think that if everything comes together for him, he could be the guy. That being said, we're going to two road courses, you know, Sonoma and the Chicago Street Course, and that should play into Chase Elliott's play, you know, into his hand, because he did finish on the podium at Mexico City. We kind of were wondering when he was going to get his game back on road courses because he was so good for so long. So if I'm looking at the group where, you know, you haven't won a race yet, my money would have to be on Chase Elliott.
Wow. It's a tough one as far as I'm concerned, because Buescher, I think, is a great candidate. I think he's good at Atlanta, and he's exceptional at Sonoma. He's done very well there. Chase Elliott, I don't think, has had winning speed in a car yet this year. I think basically he's been outshone by his teammates, Kyle Larson, William Byron. I think they've had more speed in their cars consistently. But I also look at Atlanta for Tyler Reddick. And if they can find the speed that they normally have on a road course, which they didn't have in Mexico City, then I think he's certainly a very good option given the next three tracks that we have coming up. So, you know, I would say Reddick probably my number one choice and Buescher number two.
All right. When we come back, White Flag Laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our White Flag Laps. And first up from SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com, it's Lee Spencer.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in the competition meeting this week at 2311 simply because of the failures that just keep plaguing that team. Bubba Wallace has gone from 10th to now 12th after 6 DNFs this season. That's more than a third of the races, and they've got to find a way to claw back in, because this really looked like it was going to be a year where he stood out from the crowd, and unfortunately, things have taken a bad turn. I hope they get it back together here soon.
All right, next up from the NASCAR Wire Service, it's Reed Spencer.
In the offseason, NASCAR has to make a lot of decisions vis-a-vis the schedule. Ben Kennedy has basically done a great job taking the lead and keeping the schedule interesting, but there are so many choices and so many rumors out there right now that it's going to be a difficult prospect over the next few months to get the schedule down to where, you know, we can understand it. Where's the Clash going to be? As reported, is there going to be a street race in San Diego? Is the street race going to return to Chicago? Are we going to keep COTA, Circuit of the Americas in Austin, on the schedule? What's our balance going to be between road courses, ovals, and other courses? So, you know, I can't wait to see what we do for 2026, but I think it's going to be quite different and quite interesting.
Well, I tell you, you look at what we have coming up here over the next month plus, and you start off, what a bizarre schedule, an interesting schedule. And I think it's what intrigues these drivers and teams and, you know, challenges them with the most unique schedule possible in motorsports. You talk about the hybrid that Atlanta is, a super speedway hybrid this week. Then you go to a street course, then the road course at Sonoma, then the mile concrete at Dover, and then to Indianapolis for the 2.5 mile oval. Thank goodness back to the oval in Indianapolis, and then on to Iowa, which isn't even a mile. So, I mean, what a variety, and it's going to really test these guys, the ultimate test, and we're really going to find out who is good and give some guys an opportunity maybe to jump into the playoffs. Lee, Reed, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.